Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now this scene happens after the transfiguration. Jesus goes up into the mountain with James, John, and Peter. He's transfigured, bright white. James, John, and Peter hear the voice from above saying, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." And this is what happens after that, and he comes down the mountain. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And when they brought the boy to him, the spirit saw him and immediately convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground, rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out only through prayer." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I believe. Help my unbelief. This is the season. It's opening weekend of football. I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, Lord. It's been 40 years since 85. As a long-suffering Chicago Bears fan, I believe. Help my unbelief. As only the Chicago Bears a few years ago would finally go back to the playoffs and be in range of a field goal that would win them the game in the closing seconds of the game. And the kicker who missed like one in 40 shots over the whole season, kicks it, and it goes, and it clips one goalpost. But instead of bouncing back into the center of the goal, it bounces straight down onto the crossbeam and then rolls out. A new term was coined, the double doink. Whole new words were invented by the fans when that happened, too. I believe. Help my... Oh, my... Ugh. Right, Luca? Words that you should not hear. Words that no pastor knows, honest. I believe, help my unbelief. It's amazing how that works out. When I was serving a church in Central Illinois, the number of funerals I would do after the Cubs were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs went up. The home of "there's always next year," eventually some people said, "I'm going to watch from now on with Harry Carey." Now, here's the thing. Here's the benefit, though. For being a long-suffering Bears fan and for those long-suffering Cubs fans, one of the nice things about being in Central Illinois is you learn something very important. If you just need to scream, but you don't want judgment or anything else like that. You just go into a cornfield. They're all ears. And remember, if nothing else, as you are preparing for Halloween, when you are struggling with those things that just, I believe, help my unbelief, be like a skeleton. Nothing gets under their skin. You should have come up with a new one. You use that at 8, Steve. You know, jeez. I gave you a whole hour and a half. I have to use the same ones. I'm contractually required. I don't want 8 and 10 comparing notes and complaining more about me. But when we, you know, think about this. I believe, help my unbelief. But how often do we kind of feel that and think about that in terms of things that don't matter, really? Comes to sports and your football team, your baseball team, whatever. How worked up we can get over that and whether or not they succeed or not. Or oftentimes I see it with politics too. In the tribalism and the ridiculous partisanships that happen. Where do we really think that placing our ultimate need and our ultimate belief in things that are not ultimate is actually a good idea? But we do it. And it makes belief and faith this odd thing. Because isn't this an odd response? I believe, help my unbelief. How many of us think that those are opposites? Opposite ends. One's yes, the other's no. But how often do we treat faith like a light switch? Two, you have it or you don't. Or you start struggling with this thought, do I have enough faith? Because this phrase almost makes you go, okay, well, maybe it's not yes, no, or binary kind of thing. It's on or it's off. But there's, okay, so there's a continuum, but when's enough? Do I have enough? But think about any of those thought processes and what that does to you. You start either thinking that, well, you're good and you really don't have to do anything because, well, you've got belief, you've got faith, you're done. Or you think you don't have it and you think you're beyond help because, well, you have it or you don't. And if I don't, well, I guess I'm out of luck. Think of what that means, how you treat yourself. Or treat others in a different category, especially if you think you've got it and they don't. Or if you look at it as a continuum, are you constantly beating yourself up over whether or not you did enough? Do you believe enough? Do you have enough faith? This cry of the Father is probably one of the most honest and appropriate responses for all of us in how we live. It empowers us to actually believe and to seek and to try. Because if we kind of go yes or no, we're good or we're not, or beating ourselves up over is it enough, or someone else over if it isn't enough, how else do we treat the world and we go, you turn on the news and you look out and you go, wow, look at all the bad things that are happening. 3,000 homeless youth in Pima County? Are you joking me? You know? And much less any of the other things we hear. And we can hear this and we can go, what can I do? What can I do? I can't do enough. And you can stop and you can go, well, I can't do enough, so I'm not going to do anything. And you can slide to despair and you can think that's it. Or you can realize, I believe, help my unbelief, is an invitation. It's an invitation to go out and to once again go forward. Think of the story of Peter on the water. Peter gets out of the boat and is walking on the water. He's walking on the waves. Then he started focusing on the waves and he started to sink. He cried out, God, save me. Did he have belief and then unbelief? And it was just it? Then what got him out of the boat? The fact that he believed. But he struggled with his unbelief. But he still got out of the boat. And God met him there. Paul has this saying that has often been abused in various ways. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, sometimes people turn it into this kind of mantra when you got the pickle jar you can't open. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. No! It's not some magic words or some mantra that all of a sudden you do when you're doing a set of lifts or doing other exercises. It's about an acknowledgement that you believe, but help my unbelief, that there is what you can do, but everything else is God. But are you participating in it, or are you voting yourself out? God's work is the entire kingdom and all of creation. What are your hands doing as a part of it? I think of what was all going on over there and everything else that happens all the time and all the things that many people don't even share because you just do it is a lifelong living out of the fact that you believe. Help my unbelief. Help me see something more. Help me see something, show something more. Help me be a part of the solution. Help me be a part of taking advantage of my baptismal gifts and that challenge. To let your light so shine before others. But knowing that your light isn't going to illumine the whole world, but it's going to start. That you have something to offer. Believe. And there's so much more. Unbelief. God, help me. Yep. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yep. And you can go. And you can start. And you can rise again and try again in that belief and in that space of unbelief. Because here's the thing. We often talk about our faith in Christ is what saves us. It's the faith of Christ that saves us. Because if it was up to me and my faith, I have unbelief, that's it. But he says otherwise. He has faith. And in that faith, the faith of Christ, I rise again. I have the strength to go, I believe, help my unbelief. I hope. And I rise again. And remember that God loves you. And so do I. Amen. Amen.